The easiest way to remember us is just 99.1
and 92.3
FM Talk.
All live and local, I'm John Potter. Phone number 775-884-9910. I'm here because I just like talking to folks. Let's go to South Lake Tahoe. Sally calling in on our all-local show every Saturday morning. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning. I called to mention about the Jets. I think it was Rush Limbaugh that used to say, "It's the sound of freedom."
I didn't say that, did I? Yes, that is the top response to people who write and post on Facebook irritated by all the military jet noise that they have.
And more than likely, the jets were there before they moved there. And it reminds me that at South Lake Tahoe, when I get waked up in the middle of the night, the snowplows go by. Even when I worked graveyard, I was grateful because I knew there was a good chance the roads would be open when I needed to drive on them.
God, I love you, Sally.
Well, it's better to think positively, and it gives me a chance, a reminder to pray for the snowplow guys and the people in the Jets and our nation, just generally.
Thank you. Thank you, Sally. Have a great day.
She brought up something right there about South Lake Tahoe and the Jets. If people don't realize this, when they watch the new Top Gun movie with Tom Cruise, a lot of the scenes...
Fallon?
Not so much Fallon, but South Lake Tahoe area down to Myers and in the Little Lakes in that area, there was a lot of scenes that were shot down there.
Really?
Of the flight scenes, yeah.
I do not know that. That's the movie I fell asleep during.
Right. That's right, yeah.
The person next to me thought I was a jerk for falling asleep during that Top Gun movie, like I was terribly unpatriotic. No, I was tired because I get up at 4 in the morning looking for a place that serves breakfast in Reno. Excuse me. Thank you, Craig, for that input. I was just listening to the Fox News we had top of the hour. Hunter Biden is still in the news. If you missed the story, they had it 6 minutes ago about how politicians in D.C. are now complaining that the Hunter Biden administration investigation was politically motivated. We can all agree the stuff that came out last week about Hunter Biden is staggering and largely ignored by the network television news. And I am not one of these people who's been hopping up and down about Hunter Biden. That's not been my deal. But I have the big guy sitting right here with me, and if you don't pay up, business. That is staggering. There was actually some good local news from the administration, though. The Joe Biden, Kamala Harris administration this week announced they're spending $3 million on projects. Sally, are you listening? Projects protecting the Lake Tahoe Basin. And, folks, the company that gets the contract is putting Hunter Biden on their board of directors with a $1.5 million salary. And Hunter said, quote, make sure the big guy gets half, man. Now, as long as I'm bringing up news, our local Humane Society and SPCA issued a heartfelt plea for help. The Friday before last, dog kennels reached 100% capacity at Washoe County Regional Animal Services, and more are coming in with nowhere to go. And they expect, I did not know this, but July 4th is the biggest day for lost dogs. They get a bunch of them there because of the fireworks. It really is a thing that a lot of dogs are lost because of fireworks. People left their dogs outside or, they're in the backyard or something. The firework noise terrifies them and they take off. And the Animal Services Center on Longley gets a lot of lost pets. Anyway, they have no room for them, and they said that euthanasia is an option now. They need folks to adopt or claim their lost dogs
there. And I believe they're doing, they're waiving adoption fees in.
Yes. On for, all dogs.
For, a, I don't know what period of time it is, if it's all through July, but or into August or what, but yeah.
Yeah, usually they do that free adoption for senior cats and dogs because, listen, I know, who wants seniors? But they need some room, and they got to have people adopt. Listen, I wish I had a few acres. I would rescue a whole bunch of them. Here's a headline this morning. Prosecutors are prepared to hit Trump and his allies with new charges, sources say. Oh, there's that. There it is. The media manipulation I dealt with where the news scripts would have a lot of sources say. Who are these sources? We never do. And a lot of these sources say stories turn out not to be true. Lack of attribution in today's journalism. Anyway, the story here, the Department of Justice is prepared to seek indictments against multiple figures in former President Donald Trump's orbit and may yet bring additional charges against the ex-president in the coming weeks, according to sources familiar with the matter. Which Trump opponents are those? And here's another Trump story. You can look this up on the CBS News website. The Defense Department memo on Iran is not part of the 31 counts of willful retention of national defense information charged in the indictment of the former president. A source familiar with the matter confirmed to CBS News. A source familiar with the matter. Well, you know what? Gosh, anybody who reads Facebook comments on Trump is pretty familiar with the matter. And that's the CBS News source. We had a lot of unnamed sources in our news scripts at Channel 2. When did journalism get to be like this? There was the candid audio recording that CBS and the other networks ran this week of Trump saying to that, you know what I'm talking about, to the giggling staff member. I'm sure you've seen it. Trump goes, "Isn't this amazing? Let's see here. Look. These are highly confidential, secret. This is secret information. Isn't that incredible?" Point of the story is, look, here's evidence that Donald Trump is guilty. And that's certainly a valid observation. I'll take that issue and put it aside. The question I would have is, why is this stuff from this investigation, why does it keep getting leaked? You may recall when the federal officials went to his place in Mar-a-Lago. And very shortly after that, we had photographs leaked of boxes of classified documents spread out on the floor. And what this means is that the Federal Department of Justice, somewhere in there, there are people leaking first the photographs and now, at this point, audio recordings, which, of course, would ultimately be evidence in the federal criminal prosecution of Donald Trump. And here's the question that arises from that. If you do not have integrity, Justice Department, in the maintaining of the evidence you possess, then how are we to presume or suppose that you have integrity in the investigation and prosecution of this alleged criminal? Now, this is not a defense of Trump. I think that in this matter, it's quite possible, even likely, that Donald Trump did break the law. He may well have guilt in this matter. We don't know yet. My thought instead would be, if I'm the prosecutor, if I'm the attorney general, if I'm the Justice Department, if I've got my ducks in a row, I don't say a thing. I don't leak a thing. I let the proceedings and the evidence, when lawfully made public, I would let it speak for itself. But the fact that this evidence comes out, you and I get to see it on TV, we don't think about where that came from or what the leaker's intentions are. We think about its impact. It's like, well, look, it's Trump right there. He's guilty, all right? Look, it's right there. Hear what he said. And that's the takeaway for people and the press. That's what they talk about. But I'm left with that question of, can the federal government not be trusted to keep a secret? Can the federal government not maintain control of evidence in its possession? And is the Justice Department completely blind to the fact that there are, in all honesty, many tens of millions of Americans who already doubt their objectivity and integrity? I happen to be one of the people who have that suspicion. The way that the Justice Department has conducted itself under Joe Biden looks like there's partisan sabotage going on, that they have it out for Republicans, and that there's a weaponization of these federal law enforcement powers, and that needs to be cleaned up, right? It can't be that way. That's not the way it's supposed to be. There's already that suspicion. So why would you put out this audio, which properly should not be released, and to our press, the news media, why would you be a partner in this? The fact that somebody gives you something, and by the way, audios and even videos can easily be faked now, so where's your credibility? But the fact that somebody gives you something that legally ought not to be released yet, why can't you, the news media, choose to obey the law? And if you're being played in this by either side, by defense lawyers or the prosecutors, why do you, the press, need to be an accomplice? So if Trump did it, I'll shut my mouth, you know, lay the evidence out, let the chips fall where they may. But this sneaky, look what I got, you should put this on the air from an unidentified source, that is not journalism. And CBS and the others, that's what you do when you lack integrity. And one more point, I'm still waiting for the media to stop ignoring our economy and inflation. Folks, a third of our paychecks is going to nothing but higher prices. Trivial item that I bought, 3 small prepackaged muffins at Save Mart this week, $6.99. My wife and I paid a handyman $300 an hour to fix things. It's crazy. I haven't seen one local family struggling with new economy story at all, not one. But I know dozens and dozens who really are. I'm John Potter. Comments 775-884-9910. We're going to take a break. Are you into roller derby? Oh, this is your segment coming up next. You got to stick around. Once again, 775-884-9910. FM News Talk time is 10:18.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news in Nevada. 99.1 FM Talk.
News Time, 99.1 and 92.3.
Hello, I'm John Potter, live and local each and every Saturday morning at 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. In the studio is Ed Park, Carson Victory Rollers. Folks, did you know we have roller derby? And it's in Carson City. I didn't know this either, Ed, until I was at, you guys had a stand set up at one of the wine walks in Carson City.
Yes.
And man, you draw a lot of attention. There's nothing like wine and roller derby together. What do I know about roller derby? They used to be on TV all the time. That was like as popular as professional wrestling.
And we used to have them at the Centennial Coliseum when it was Centennial Coliseum and not Reno Sparks Convention Center. They would come in about once a month.
Are you a fan, Craig?
I am. But, you know, I'm a fan of the old track, the slanted track. The floor taped version to me is a lot weaker than the other one.
Well, that's over my head. more than I do. Ed, what do you say about that?
Yeah, back in the day, he's talking about the banked track, and it was banked, I'm not sure, maybe like 25 degrees, and that helps skaters get around the track a lot faster. So now the majority of roller derby, 99%, is the flat track where there's no bank, and yeah, that's what he's talking about.
Ed, by the way, what's your roller derby name?
My roller derby name is Phil A. Ming Dong. You have to say it fast.
Phil A. Ming Dong.
No. Phil A. Ming Dong. Phil A. Ming Dong. Phil A. Ming Dong.
Yeah, see, like I said earlier, my brain is slow today. And Brawler is supposed to call in on this. My first impression when I saw roller derby was, wow, that escalated quickly. It's rough and tough. I got to ask you, of all places, Carson City, and how did this all begin, the Carson Victory Rollers?
Yeah, we actually had a team start in 2006, the Reno Roller Girls. And there were two teams, actually. There was the Reno Roller Girls and the Battleborn Derby Demons. And some of the Reno Roller Girls, you know, they lived in Carson City, and they were like, hey, you know, instead of commuting to Reno all the time, why don't we just start a league in Carson City? So in 2012, they created the Carson Victory Rollers, and they have been active ever since.
We have Brawler on the phone. Brawler has called in. Hey, Brawler, how's it going?
It's going good. How are you?
See, I expected a more...
Yeah, how's it going? How are you? I'm Brawler.
Brother. Yeah.
Okay, Brawler. No. So interesting how this all began. Now, the reason you're here is because Ed was just, or Filet Mignon here, was just telling me that you guys are up for the national, the Nationals? Brawler, how did you get in this position?
For me personally, I joined the Carson Victory Rollers a little bit over a year and a half ago, and we've been training ever since, competing at a high level. And this year they had we had an opportunity to go to Nebraska and skate against, you know, some of the top teams in the United States. So it's going to be a great time.
Okay, that's where the Nationals are going to be, in Nebraska. And you also have an October tournament coming up. Is that local, where people can go and see it?
Yeah, that's at the Carson Community Center. That's October 21st and 22nd. That's the tournament that we host every year. That's the Battle for the Silver Skate. That's where teams from all over... like the West Coast, we got people from the Midwest. They come and we do our tournament, and the winner gets the silver skate.
So what was the attraction to you to go on skates and knock people down, which is basically what this is? Why did that attract you? I'll start with you, Brawler.
For me, just like any other sport I'd watch on TV, I get caught up in the competitive nature of it. You know, two teams out there jockeying for, you know, in this case, lead, and trying to score points for their team, and the physicality of it. I think I went and watched one derby game, and I didn't quite understand the rules back then, but just watching, you know, these athletes compete at that level really got me excited, and I was like, oh, this is something I definitely like to try, because, you know, we grow up playing, you know, baseball or football or basketball, the more conventional sports, but seeing something that you've never seen before, you're no doubt going to say, oh, yeah, that I'd love to be able to try that. And so that's where I was coming from. I love the competitive nature of the sport itself.
Okay, Ed, wasn't roller derby all women?
Yeah. Well, actually, when it first started, way back in 1884, there were women and men. But it was one of those rare sports back then where it included women. And that was very rare back then. You know, a lot of sports like football and baseball were just men's sports. And so this was one of the first sports that actually included women. And then... back in 2001, roller derby went away for a little bit, and then back in 2001 in Austin, Texas, there were a bunch of women that got together, and they restarted roller derby, and it was an all-female thing back in 2001, and now it's expanded, so all the genders have come together now to play roller derby.
Brawler, from what I remember, the old roller derby shows, there was a lot of... metal chairs being thrown at people and people taking inanimate objects and slugging somebody in the head with it. How does your Carson Victory Rollers compare to that?
So that there was a lot more theatrics involved in roller derby back then. It was only like one step off of like professional wrestling. Nowadays, it is more of it's more structured as far as there are penalties. You can't just haul off and smack someone with a chair. So the game nowadays. Yeah,
Ed likes the idea. By the way.
No,
Ed wants to bring it back.
Yes.
Well,
you know, sometimes me and Ed want to hit each other with chairs, but we don't because it's a penalty.
Okay, you have a new skater program. There's people listening who probably think, oh, man, that would be fun to be in on this. So, are you recruiting?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Year-round, we need recruits, not only skaters, competitive skaters, also officials, referees, but absolutely, we're looking for skaters all the time. We have a new skater program. If you don't know how to skate, we will teach you. And that's how I started. I skated back when I was a kid, and then I never skated again. So when I joined, they taught me how to skate. And then after that, they'll teach you how to do all the crazy things on skates.
All right, on Facebook, you are Carson Victory Rollers. Folks, you can look it up on Facebook, Carson Victory Rollers. And we're going to end with you, Brawler. Tell us how your final things that I missed here and really... how people can be part of the team, my friend. And by the way, when's your next public matchup?
So our next doubleheader is on Saturday, July 29th. That's also at the Carson Community Center. I believe the doors open at 1 p.m., and then we have Derby at 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock. But for that off skates, for people looking to join, that's going to be on August 8th, and that's on Tuesdays at 6:30 p.m. And it's 5 weeks of training. You get to come and we teach you all the moves off skates. And then about 3 weeks into your 5 week program, you jump on skates and you learn from there. And like it said, we'll teach you how to skate. And all you got to do is bring, you know, that hardworking nature.
And Ed, what teams do you compete against? Are there other area teams that,
there's actually a team called Sierra Regional Roller Derby. And just like us, they're based in the region. So there's skaters from Tahoe, there's skaters from Carson City and Reno. I live in Reno and I go commute to Carson City. There are some skaters in Carson that commute to Reno. And then there are also a lot of teams in California. So we compete against a lot of Northern California teams.
Okay, Brawler and Filet Mignon. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on our Live and Local thing.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brawler, for calling in. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, sir. I'm John Potter. This is all Live and Local. We're going to break for Fox News now. FM News Talk time, 10:32. Where do you find this stuff?
I heard a listener call in and say, Jim Croce did a song, Roller Derby Queen, or Roller Derby Mama, something like that.
Yeah.
And it's amazing what YouTube has for you.
I think we need Todd from Storall to store all your records that you have, Mr. Craig. That was a nice touch. Appreciate it. I'm John Potter. 775-884-9910. It is a beautiful, albeit hot, day and a beautiful weekend in the Truckee Meadows. You've heard me say it many times before. There are so many good things in Washoe County, in Carson City, in Lyon County, and nearby Tahoe. I love this place. It's why I do this show every Saturday morning, 9 to noon. I love its spirit. I love its history. I love its people, the things I can learn and the folks that I meet. But serious 10 minutes here. There is an undeniable increase in lawlessness in our city neighborhoods and stores that have been on the rise. And I try to not pay much attention to Reno crime, but it comes up, it slaps you across the face if you don't. I'm just looking, and I don't seek these out, but you go to a local news website. Okay, so Wednesday we had a murder suspect, a guy with a felony warrant, and three others get arrested at a traffic stop in Carson City. Thursday night, gunfire in Silver Springs, and the shooters arrested after a standoff and a chase. Reno, oh my gosh, there's plenty there. A 20-year-old was arrested yesterday on charges of shooting somebody several times downtown. Sparks police arrested a man on open murder charges yesterday after finding a dead body in an apartment. Sadly, I could go on. And what is with all the occasional reports of gunshots at night over the past few years? Cold Springs, Wednesday night, had a bunch, a lot of gunfire. You would never hear such a thing in the past here. I have a gun, and, you know, I will take some risks myself, but I won't when I'm with my wife. And from that, I've had some peace of mind thinking that if nothing else, I could at least temporarily be a distraction while she flees or something like that. But this thought came to me, and even though I'm armed, it may pay to avoid, and I'm not one of these folks who say avoid downtown Reno or East 4th Street. I personally love the city of Reno. Aside from its government, I love all of it. I've already changed since the last commercial break, and as soon as the show's done, I'm going to bike some streets I've never seen before for a half hour before I head home. If I see a neat little ethnic restaurant, I'll probably loop back there, get something I've never had before. I have wonderful experiences when I'm out running, too. But sometimes on the same streets, the same intersections, sometimes the same day, I'll see some patrol cars, maybe a TV camera out there as the officers put up the yellow tape. And you can't deny that. And it occurs to me that even though I might be armed and I want to go through life not harming anybody, I would like to die not having harmed anyone physically, and I hope to be a nicer person so I don't harm anybody otherwise in my life. And so my head says, I think I want to avoid these circumstances and situations just because I don't want to be put in a position where I might harm somebody, right? Anyway, we have some struggles, and we definitely are not perfect here. We don't seem to come up with the correct solutions to increased crime lately. I've seen twice now people walking out of stores without being stopped with stuff. Our city, our state especially, can really help in really reducing the increased dangers that we all face. But like most anything government, there's a lot of well-meaning incompetence in this area, and also continued efforts to control the law-abiding. We have a state legislature that meets every 2 years to write up another 100 or so laws that are mainly directed at tax-paying productive citizens, laws like no guns allowed at polling places, laws that leave you and I defenseless, not the criminal element because they aren't prone to obey any new laws that come out of Carson City. So many are punitive laws that are directed against us. And we're going to get into this with P.K. O'Neill. He's a legislator, and he's going to be on the air with us in about an hour talking about the Nevada legislature 2023. But we see the government's refusal to act in the best interests of victims, but rather for the perpetrators of crime offering lighter sentences. The Nevada legislature and former Governor Sisolak actually raised the standard for theft to be considered a felony. You got to steal over $1,200 to get charged with a felony now. It's a great win for the shoplifting lobby. Our governments have held law-abiding citizens hostage. So we become a more lawless society, y'all agree with that, when police have to shut down a major downtown surface street or intersection like they do time and time again here in their effort to try to investigate a shooting or murder or to restore order. You think, oh my gosh, you look at who the leaders of the city of Reno are, not just the ones drawing the big checks up at City Hall, but is there anyone who truly has any influence upon anybody else in the city. Does anybody have any influence to fix this? I love the city. I love the people who live in it. But some people who do act like freaking idiots. You folks who show up on police reports have to stop acting like nutcases and savages. I mean, we got to stop having instances like we saw this week, right? Because you reinforce every negative stereotype about the city there is. And for some people who think along racial lines, you reinforce every negative racial stereotype there is. And it happens over and over and over again. And yeah, we all need to be positive, engaging, and all that other stuff towards each other. We all need to have good, pure thoughts about everybody's history and demographic and everything else. But you also ought to stop acting like frickin' idiots. When you act like trash, people are going to treat you like trash. That's just a fact. And one way to be treated with respect is to act respectable. So anyway, to the men and women of the Reno Police Force, I thank you for not giving up and standing your ground despite all the odds stacked against you. Your willingness to protect us, citizens who just want to go about their lives in peace, is the only thing that stands between us and chaos. And we ask that you not give up and continue to help bring order in our community. Thank you for your service. It's through no fault of your own. It's our state and local governments not taking crime seriously enough. And again, we're going to have PK O'Neill, legislator, on this show. You can call in, ask questions about what the Nevada legislature did and did not do. And that's coming up in about, I think, half an hour.
20 minutes, yeah.
20 minutes, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And coming up next, right after this break, is Spike McGuire from the Brewery Arts Center. And he is actually out in your lobby right now.
He is. He is. If he was listening, he probably left, but we'll have the Brewery Arts Center up next. Oh, my gosh. I went 10 minutes on this topic. I'm sorry. 1040. Yes, terrible show. I apologize. 1046. Our phone number, 775-884-9910. I'm John Potter. FM News Talk Time, 1046.
99.1. The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada.
Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
You got an awesome laugh, Spike. We were just talking during the commercials. I'm John Potter. This is all live and local. The show is called The Weekend. And in our studio, Spike McGuire, Carson City Brewery Arts Center.
That's right. Thanks so much for having me, John.
For those who've never been or may have never even heard, they think the place is a brewery, right?
We get that all the time.
Why is it called the Brewery Arts Center?
So our main building on campus is the oldest commercial building in Nevada. It was built in 1865 for the Carson Brewing Company, which is the original brewer of Tahoe beer, which I believe you can still get from Brewer's Cabinet today.
You can. You're right.
They were in there until sometime in the 1930s, I want to say. I got a bad mind for numbers. I'm great with words, but I'm bad with numbers. But I think sometime in the 30s, 40s, it switched over to the Nevada Appeal. And then Brewery Arts Center moved in 1976.
Okay. I've been there many times. The Wine Walk, it's a stop during the Carson City Wine Walk that you do, what, every 2 months?
Every month. It's today.
Oh, every month.
That's my next stop after this is the Wine Walk.
Oh, it's today.
It's today.
Okay, awesome.
Every first Saturday through the Downtown Business Association.
I spoke at the Carson City Rotary, packed house.
Yep, we have them every Tuesday upstairs in the brewery building in our ballroom.
This place is a 255-seat performance hall.
So that's actually our other building. So in 2010, Brewery Arts Center acquired the St. Teresa Catholic Church across the street, across Minnesota Street. And as a matter of fact, a few years later, the city deeded Minnesota Street to us, so it's permanently closed to unify our two-block campus. So we not only have the brewery building, we also have the church building, which does house the 255-seat performance hall.
Well, obviously, you have a lot of demand for your space there.
We do, yeah.
You have a theater?
We do, yeah. We actually have two resident theater companies, Presidium Players, which is the second oldest company in Nevada, theater company in Nevada, founded in 1965. They do four or five shows a year. Just kind of depends on their season and what shows they're doing. We also have Wild Horse Productions, which they have an adult theater company as well as a children's theater company. So about three or four shows with the kids every year, one or two shows with the adults.
Okay, now that the theaters aside from the performance hall, the theater, Black Box Theater is what you call it, is 150 seat.
Yes, that's right. And that's in the annex that's built on the back of the brewery building.
Oh, my gosh.
Also in that annex building, we have a paint studios, pottery studio, classrooms. The Nevada Artists Association has their own gallery over there. We have an exhibition hall over there that we curate.
What do you have in the classrooms besides pottery?
Well, the easiest class that anyone can come and join is our Friday night paint and sip with Debbie Corona. She's a wonderful, she actually is a master sculptor, but she's a tremendous painting artist as well. So you can follow along with Debbie step by step to do the painting of the week, and you get two glasses of wine as well. It's a real fun, low-pressure, social, artistic experience.
And a ballroom.
That's right. Yeah, High Sierra Swing Dance Society meets up there every fourth Saturday of the month.
Why? Reno needs a place like this. You know, you have it all together. Brewery Arts
Well,
Center.
You know, we're the capital city, so that I think there's a higher expectation. We're trying to inspire Reno to get there someday.
All right, 7 p.m. Saturdays, and I guess what is this going on tonight?
This is going on tonight as well.
Levitt AMP free summer concert series every Saturday?
Every Saturday. We do 10 weeks in the summer. My predecessor.
Who's up tonight?
We have March 4th out of Portland, Oregon. If you're not familiar with them, they're like a, you know, if the Village People were a marching band that got lost in a circus camp and then wound up on Mars. I don't even know the best way to describe it. There's, you know, 15 to 20 musicians at any given time. They have stilt walkers. They have acrobats. It's an incredible, wild, enthralling, entertaining experience. And opening for them, we have Spencer Kilpatrick and the Sand Gators, which features a lot of Reno local talent.
It's a hive of activity. Okay, we're not through here, folks. Blacktop Buffet, Wednesday night food truck event, which goes on from 5 to 8.
That's right. Yeah, we get six or seven food trucks and the tropical snow truck out there every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday.
We'll get an acoustic act or maybe a duo up. That is going through August 23rd, I believe it's the last one of those. So we do 10 of those as well.
My wife and I spent a lot of time looking at the artwork that you have all over the original Brewery Arts Center building. And I guess you're bringing out some psychedelic rock posters, a lot of them. And this is coming up in a couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, July 13th, I believe, is the first day that exhibition will be available for viewing. Well, so here's something that a lot of people don't realize. The first ever psychedelic rock poster was for a show at the Red Dog Saloon in Virginia City featuring the Charlatans, which the band Dan Hicks was in for many years.
Virginia City used to be a psychedelic town, folks.
It very much was. It very much was. And a lot of people don't realize that truly, if you ask any poster, rock art poster collector in the world, they will unanimously agree. The first poster, which is they lovingly refer to as the Seed because it started it all, was for the Charlatan show at the Red Dog. So I want to make a point of, you know, at least one exhibition a year really telling a Nevada story of a cool contribution that Nevada has made that people don't necessarily realize. So the name of this show is Seed of the Movement, How Psychedelic Rock Took Root in Northern Nevada. We have a few wonderful collections that are putting pieces on loan for us. We'll have some fashion pieces from back in the day. I believe we're going to have the original doors from the Red Dog Saloon set up next to the poster, The Seed, and then we'll have a bunch of other great posters along the
way. Yeah, Jefferson Airplane, I remember, played at Virginia City.
That's right.
Red Dog Saloon.
Red Dog was the spot back in the day. You know, that's where the Grateful Dead bought their guns and drugs. That's where.
And big, huge event is the Mural Festival. Have you done this before?
So not in Carson City, but before I took over as executive director of Brewery Arts Center, one of the many wonderful projects I was involved with is several mural festivals that have taken place across Northern Nevada. We did one in Reno. I was the entertainment director, so I would book all the bands in conjunction. And then Eric Brooks, who's just a tremendous artistic visionary, he's the one who curates these mural festivals and mural expos. So we did Reno, the Elko Mural Expo, which was one of the best times of my entire life. We did the Fernley Mural Expo, and they actually, Fernley and Elko both did their own follow-up mural events. It really kind of created a new culture in the towns.
You're a very hardworking person to have all this going on. And if somebody wants to use the space, is there room? I mean...
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
There's holes in the schedule left or right. If you want to use the space, call the office, 775-883-1976. You can talk to Mikey, our director of operations. If there's available space, we're happy to rent it out.
And you're right in the middle of it all. You're right in the middle of downtown Carson City. Got to ask, though, how's the parking?
Parking is great.
Okay. How? Do you have a lot?
We do have a lot. So it's the lot
I
is
know
closed.
Where it is, by the church there.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. So our church building has a huge parking lot. That is closed for the concert series because we set up a giant outdoor stage basically next to the church facing out that it. So you can watch kind of across both parking lots through the full campus. But there's tons of street parking all around. Parking is never really much of an issue. Most of the people there are just kind of pouring out of their houses in the local neighborhood. It's a really cool experience. We get 2,000 or 3,000 people every week, but it doesn't feel overcrowded. There's plenty of room for everyone. You're not waiting too long in line for a beer. You can bring your own coolers of beer. We don't care.
Oh, my gosh.
You can bring a chair. We got chairs. If you don't bring a chair...
Spike McGuire, you got it going on. Brewery Art Center, folks, where tonight, or actually today, the Wine Walk is kind of centered there, and also 7 o'clock tonight, the free summer concert, and every Saturday. Spike, thanks for coming out.
Absolutely, and I just want to let folks know they can see the full lineup for the concerts at breweryarts.org.
Awesome, Spike. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Folks, I'm John Potter. We're going to be back after Fox News, all live and local every Saturday morning, 9 to noon. FM News Talk time, 10:58.